In the second letter of Peter, it is written, "You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." My deepest struggle in this season of Lent is against contempt, the contempt in me. 2 weeks ago, which was the last Sunday before Ash Wednesday, I found myself preaching at Nativity, and I found myself preaching words that were meant to encourage not just the people of Nativity, but myself. And those words stayed with me, and so I want to share them with you this morning in the hopes that it will help you too, if you too are struggling against contempt this Lent. I certainly am repeating it to help me in my own struggle. So I'm drawn this year to Peter's reflection on what happened to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's captured in this letter that he wrote later. Again, he wrote, "You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Attentive. You will do well to be attentive now until the day dawns. What this captures perfectly is a fundamental tension in the Christian life that I live with every day, and I hope you do too, more and more. It's the tension between the already and the not yet. So not yet is everything as it should be. Peter writes, until the day dawns. Now, you could say that in an ordinary way of like, oh, you know, things are hard right now, but they're going to get better. And that's true in an ordinary way. But it also means when the day dawns. Remember, in the Eucharistic prayer A, we say Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And what we mean by that is the day will come. And the day is captured best in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, where it's all light and no darkness. And God wipes away every tear from every eye. And we finally no longer see through a glass darkly, but we see God face to face. We're used, perhaps, to thinking of the judgment day as this grim, apocalyptic thing, forgetting that on the other side of that, everything is made right. That day is not yet. The promise of Jesus, though, is at his resurrection and hinted at in the transfiguration, is that there will be a day when God is seen, known, experienced, heard, tasted, felt as the all in all, utterly conquering death. This is not yet. But what of the already? Peter writes, "Be attentive as to a light shining in a dark place." Be attentive. Now, some years before I came to St. Paul's, I was in an incredibly low place. And I was stuck in this low place for months, and I couldn't seem to escape it. Some of it was internal, a lot of it was external. I was stuck. And one day, as I was driving from one place to the other, a short phrase that I thought was from Scripture, but I couldn't quite place it, came to me. And as I thought of that phrase, I felt the peace that passes all understanding. It was like a medicine for my emotions and my feelings. Or it was like taking an acid bath and having it just strip away that layer of anxiety that I seemed to be living with constantly at that time. And the word that came to me was, "Your life is hid in Christ." And I couldn't place it. Do you all know where that is? It's in Colossians, and only in Colossians. And I thought to myself, this is true. There is a part of me that is hidden from all of this terrible stuff. By my baptism, reinforced by my prayers, reinforced by my weekly communion, there is part of me that is with Jesus now, and nothing, nothing can touch that. All of this crap that I'm going through, no. Already, I am with Jesus, and nothing can take that away. I can be attacked by a parishioner, blown off by a former friend, stabbed in the back by a colleague, manipulated by a superior, all of which was happening to me at that time. And there is something in me that none of that can touch. Not yet is it perfect. And when all those things were happening to me, it still hurts. But I knew with a deep knowing that already my life is with Jesus and all will be well. I was very moved by, you know, we've had 5 funerals in the last couple of months. And in one of them, I ended up preaching on the man Paul Temple's favorite piece of scripture that he said repeatedly throughout his life. People associated him with this particular quote from the Gospel of John, from Jesus at the very end of his last discourse. He says to his followers, "In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Peter writes, "Be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place." Now, this already, not yet, my life is hidden Christ, is particularly important for me during this season of Lent as I fast from contempt, or do my very best to fast from contempt. Again, my experience is that the amount of contempt in our culture has kicked up remarkably in the last 18 months, more of it than I've ever experienced. The difference between anger and contempt is subtle but profound and real. If I'm angry at you, I still want to be in relationship with you. If I am contemptuous towards you, I dismiss you, no longer wanting to be in relationship with you. And I feel that it's coming from above when my fellow citizens are called a basket of deplorable by one presidential candidate or the other presidential candidate imitates the handicap of a reporter. It's coming from one side of me with progressive snark and the other side of me with Tea Party bombast. It's all over the place. And in our internet culture, it just soaks us. So we have to be careful and attentive and strong to fast from this contempt. And I recognize that it's even in myself. I tell the story that I received a letter from Christians to one of our leaders, and I read it at first because thinking it was fantastic because it quoted a lot of my favorite people. But I realized when I woke up the next morning in my prayers that in fact that letter awoke in me a kind of dismissive contempt of that very leader, and that I could not go down that path. That was not my way, not if I was to fast from contempt. So we have to be careful with our thoughts. I have to be careful with my thoughts. And I can only learn to fast from contempt a way other than contempt if I remember that my life is hid in Christ. Then I am not afraid if I remember that I am hid, my life is hid in Christ. Then it is easier to look at others with the respect, the inherent dignity that they deserve as creatures of God made in the image and likeness of God like you and me. And fasting from contempt then makes it possible for us to stand as Christian civilized people in the world, which means specifically to me that we have the capacity to stand firmly in the truth as we see it and simultaneously be in reconciled relationship with the other. A necessary stance in our time. Already, we have been given so much. Not yet is it fulfilled. So these words of Peter, I invite us to take to heart. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Amen.